Hi, this is Chef Rick Bayless, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
Baseball season's underway.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line is a chef that is as synonymous with Chicago as its iconic sports teams. When it comes to this Top Chef Master and James Beard Award winning, he's going to be bringing his brand of awesome to the ballpark as part of the Chicago Cubs Chef Series. The one and only Rick Bayless is on the line. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you. We're really excited to be at Wrigley. It's kind of crazy because I've only been to Wrigley just as a fan, and to sort of be on the inside a little bit and be able to hang out there when it's not just filled with fans getting ready for what we're doing, it's been really awesome.
Well, what's been great is to be able to bring the best of Chicago, and the best of Chicago on the baseball field is now some of the best in the world, so that's kind of a new and different change. For a long time, obviously, you have been doing that on the restaurant and food side, but the whole sports world is sort of changing, and these ballparks are kind of just ambassador opportunities for so much of what is going on in the city. People know kind of Chicago for the Cubs, but they love it for the food.
Well, and just think about what's happened at our airports, too, because now you can get some really good local food at our airports. And why not have the same sort of thing at the ballparks? Have some of the chefs represented there, because to be a really good chef, you have to be able to cook at all levels. You can't just do fancy food. And to be able to do stuff that's just appropriate for Wrigley Field, in our case, at this moment, has just been a joy. We made a couple of different tacos. We did a beef barbacoa taco with this gorgeous red chili sauce and an Arbol hot sauce that goes on it. And then we did this really classic chicken dish from central Mexico called chicken tinga. And it's got roasted tomatoes and chipotle chilies and a little creamy slaw on the top of it. Just a delicious mouthful. And you know, we even... and people will laugh at this, but we even made this nod toward nachos. And I have to say, it is such a great dish. So everybody knows what Mexican grilled corn is. You slather it with mayo, and you put this cheese on top of it, kind of a pungent cheese on top of it, and some chili powder. And so we did that on some corn chips, but obviously the corn is the cut off of the cob. And then we put it on our tortilla chips with this gorgeous kind of, it's a creamy sauce that's got some mayonnaise in it, a little bit of cream in it, a little bit of cream cheese. And so you just enjoy, the crunch of the nachos, but the flavor of Mexico, and people seem to be really literally eating it up.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Well, it is the kind of amazing that people have been enjoying. Obviously, Frontera Grill, Topolobampo, Shoco, and then, of course, Cruz Blanca, Leña Brava. You know, all the places that you do, when you were kind of putting together the menu, obviously you want to have, you know, great representations of the flavors of Mexico you bring to the restaurants, but you have to limit it. Like, how did you choose what to bring? Was it you had to kind of think mobile ballpark food, or did you just say, this would be fun?
Well, first of all, we sat around and said, what do we want to eat at the ballpark? And everybody said tacos, okay? So we decided we were going to feature a couple of tacos, some that we do at Cruz Blanca and some that we do at – or one that we do at Cruz Blanca, one that we do at Shoco in River North. And so we thought about that. The Toto Elotes, which is our sort of version of nachos I was just talking about, that's something that we developed for our restaurant in Wicker Park called Fonda. So, I mean, we've got a little bit of representation from a lot of different places. We have this like absolutely delicious cucumber lime margarita. And having had a full one the other night, because we, after our first pop-up night at the ballpark, we went to the game. So I took my cucumber lime margarita into the stands, and we just had the best time, I have to say. But there is one thing I'm not talking about, and that is our hot dog, because of course, everybody associates hot dogs with the ballpark.
Of course.
And so Wrigley came to us and they said, you know, you don't have to do a hot dog, but if we could twist your arm to do one, we would really like that. Can you give it your flavors? And I said, absolutely, we're up to it. And so I did not grow up with hot dogs. I know that sounds like a crazy thing, but my mother hated hot dogs and wouldn't allow them in our house. So I never really developed much of a taste for it, but I said, I can make this amazing. So we're doing a char dog, a foot-long char dog with a red chili sauce on it, some bacon, some crispy fried onions, and then this mixture of aged Mexican cheese, cilantro, and hot chili powder. And I tell you, one bite of it just sends you into the stratosphere. I love this hot dog. So I'm actually turning in my old age into this hot dog lover.
Well, okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as so many fans get a chance to try it, and they try this thing, and part of, I think, the beauty of traditions is creating new ones, is there a possibility that maybe the char dog could make it onto the menu of one of the places?
Well, let's just say I've got my fingers crossed. We'll see where that might happen, you know, because it's been extremely well received at the ballpark. So who knows? You may see that in River North.
Well, there's no substitute for travel. There's no substitute for getting out and seeing the places. And we know through your career, especially with Mexico One Plate at a Time, you know, being out there and experiencing is, I think, that part of just the food side of it. But you fell in love with the people and the culture of Mexico and decided to try to bring the flavors of that back here to the places in Chicago. For our show On the Road, we talk about transformative travel and getting out there and experiencing kind of the world and how it can change you. And I know it's a big thing, and we've talked about it before, but maybe just a second about, you know, taking time and getting off the beaten path, trying some of those flavors in places that you might not necessarily do.
When I was 14, I had the opportunity to go to Mexico City for the first time, and it was to Mexico City. And I have to say that it completely changed my life. So when you talk about transformative travel, I am a perfect example of it. I so fell in love with the culture that was around me, not even just the food. I mean, the food was kind of a blur on my first trip, but it was the people and their warm generosity of spirit and the vitality of the culture. And I said, I want to make this part of my life. And so I was able during high school to take some student trips back there and then ended up majoring in Spanish language and Latin American studies in college so that I could actually go to Mexico, live there for a while and study. And then I really did make Mexico a major part of my life, and I share that with everyone through my books and especially through Mexico One Plate at a Time, because half of every show is shot on location in Mexico. And it's not the Mexico that so many people really know. I mean, most Americans, when they go to Mexico, they go to one of the beach communities, and they're beautiful, and people love going there, and they're very relaxing. But sometimes they're really oriented toward what the American tourists are going to want. And I say get off the beaten path. So anytime I do a Mexico One Plate at a Time show in a beach community, I always title it Off the Beaten Path. And I take people to the neighborhoods where all the people that work in the resorts and so forth live, and where they have these wonderful ma and pa restaurants that are just doing dynamic food, really memorable food. And when you get to rub shoulders with the locals, then you have a different perspective on things. And I have to say that those are always some of my most favorite shows out of any season, is when I can share how to get off the beaten path with the viewers of Mexico One Plate at a Time. And boy, they write me in droves saying how important that is for them that I have been able to do it. Just last night at Wrigley, somebody came up to me and said, I loved your show on Playa del Carmen. Now tell me, I go there every year. I want to go to that taco. Explain to me exactly where it is. And I thought, that is the satisfaction.
Well, you never know. There's all these touchstones, and you get out there for the fans who enjoy you in so many different ways, whether it is, of course, at the restaurants or the books or the television or any of those things. And it is kind of this entry point into that greater world that is the Mexico that you know, have discovered and loved. And I know that may not have been, or maybe it was your intention. Obviously, you know, as a businessman and a chef and a successful restaurateur, you want to create foods that that resonate with people and they love. But has it kind of sunk in? I'm sure it has at this point. You've gotten awards from the president of Mexico, and they understand what a treasure it is that you are. But that's almost like you're almost kind of an ambassador for the country.
That's actually what I intended to be from the very beginning.
Wow.
Because after I lived in Mexico for 5 years and I traveled to every state in the republic, I realized that there was just such a treasure trove of richness in the regional cuisines, and I wanted to bring that back to the United States. And the reason that I wanted to bring it back is that, well, we all have our concept of what Mexican food is, and most of it's pretty Americanized food. And it can be sort of one-note food a lot of times, but the real cuisine of Mexico is much more diverse and more dynamic than that. And to be able to bring those flavors back to the United States is really opening up our lives to a lot more pleasure, I have to say, because those flavors that are eaten every day of the week in different regions of Mexico are so incredibly delicious. So they enhance the quality of our lives here. And I wanted to be able to share that with folks back here. And it also gives us a different understanding, and perhaps I could say a more complete understanding of who our southern neighbors really are.
You never know what you're going to come away from a Cubs game with, and increasing the pleasure. They don't always win, but they're always winning when they can get in there and taste some of the selection that you'll have there this weekend as part of the Chicago Cubs Chef Series. So, and then just the very last thing, we asked this of famous, you know, chefs, notable people, athletes, race car drivers, you name it, is what was your first car? Did you have something kind of cool and fancy? Was it something practical? What was it?
My first car was a Triumph Spitfire, a two-seater convertible, and I loved that thing so immensely. It was a wreck. And I only got to drive it for about a year, and then the whole thing fell apart. But I was so incredibly proud of it. I paid $700 for it that I earned myself, and I will never forget it.
Oh, Chef, what is the one thing? This is the kind of thing that I'll be bragging about, that Chef Rick Bayless and I owned a car, a Triumph Spitfire. Mine was like $600, and I absolutely loved it. It was my dream car, and you know what? It was kind of falling apart when I bought it, but we loved it.
Oh, and it was so cold in the winter, but I didn't care because it was such a cool car.
So bless you. Thanks for all that you're doing, obviously, for everything you're doing on the food side and for being part of the Cubs and for being on WGN today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Absolutely. Anytime.